Welcome back to the SpongeBob Chronicles, a SpongeBob SquarePants podcast. I'm one of your hosts, John.
I'm Ronnie Rue.
And today, us two 28 and 27-year-olds are covering Season 1,
Thank
Episode 10.
Thank you for acknowledging my recent birthday.
Culture Shock / F-U-N.
Oh, what a good duo right here. This one, I'm excited to talk about this one because Culture Shock is definitely in the top five in the sense of most quotable episodes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know that I do. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but I say this guy stinks
so much.
Very, at least once a week. I just love any kind of episode where it takes you out of the regular, like, mundane setting. Like, we're still in the Krusty Krab, but they built this big set, and it just feels like a special episode.
It does. It does. So let's just get right into it.
Do it.
We start off the day. It's a normal Krusty Krab day, which means no one's there. We've got a salad bar set up because apparently, you know, business has not been booming here at the Krusty Krab.
The Krusty Krab is one of the most interesting restaurants as far as patronage. Sometimes they seem like you could not get an open spot or open table for lunch, no matter how hard you tried. And then other times, it's like no one's walked in for the last 7 hours.
Right. Squidward, he's reading some weird magazines looking at culture.
It's called Dance Now.
Dance, yeah. He's looking at dance culture. SpongeBob, every time a speck of dust falls on the table, he wipes it away. SpongeBob is one of those guys that, no matter what, he's 100% working, always, unless he's thinking about going to Jellyfish Fields.
Wouldn't dream of looking at his phone.
Right, and he is so bored right now. What is he doing? He's doing this. What, dude, now that you say that, it's so crazy that if you think about back in these days, there was not phones to
SpongeBob didn't even have a cell phone.
Like, even us in the real world didn't have them.
Yeah, we would have been looking at Dance Now magazine.
Yeah, it's so wild to think about. SpongeBob is so bored. I just said that. A customer finally walks in, we think. He looks almost lost, though. He's like an old man. Mr. Krabs gets so excited. SpongeBob sits him down, takes his order, which is just change for the payphone, and gives him change. The guy looks at him because SpongeBob does such a good job. He tips him a penny. And of course,
SpongeBob did not do a good job.
Oh, really? I thought he did great. Very enthusiastic.
This is the most ludicrous way to give a person change I've ever seen before in my life.
And give me the reasoning behind
because
it.
The guy hands him a dollar, and SpongeBob comes back with 27 coins.
There was a few pennies there. He tips him a penny, and of course, Eugene Krabs, he's off to the side, smells the penny.
Yeah, I was good. I didn't laugh at Eugene Krabs that time, and you broke.
Well, just the thought of him sniffing a penny and sniffing some copper and instantly jumping on the table to grab it.
That's how bad it's been. I honestly think this is a little untrue of Mr. Krabs' character, not pouncing on the penny. The free salad bar.
Yeah.
Free?
Well, that makes you think, is this salad any good at all? Is he just finding this and putting it there, and it's just all a ploy?
Well, we'll talk about the salad bar a little bit later, because I would say, no, it's not a good salad bar, but I don't want to get to that quite yet. But he doctored it up with signs that says, you know, zip, nil. If that doesn't get him, what will?
Yeah. We then go into Mr. Krabs' office, and we start discussing how to bring profits into the Krusty Krab, because it's not looking good. He just said the past month that profits have been terrible.
Well, and it's one thing to dive on the table for a penny. It's another thing to take time out of your day to put it in your safe.
Yeah, that's pretty wild there, because it's one of those secure wall safes. It's not even just a normal safe.
I'll get like a bonus check from work and just walk by it sitting on my bedside table like for 2 weeks before I go, oh, yep. I better probably
deposit. Sometimes I put it in my glove compartment and forget about it for a while.
Yeah. But that's just because we've got no issues in the money department, ladies. We are doing very well.
Ladies, we've got no issues in the money department. SpongeBob says socks with every order. I think that's actually a tremendous idea.
Okay, but not the socks that SpongeBob's trying to give.
And which socks is he trying
to give? He's trying to give tube socks with like a red and blue stripe near the top. Like what socks, if you were getting these socks with every meal purchase, what would you do? Or, sorry, I said that poorly. What kind of socks, if they were giving away, would you be like, oh, I'll definitely go get a meal from there?
Just any type of socks, honestly.
So you're going for the knee or the tube? Yeah,
I'll wear the tube socks when I have pants on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. They just don't look like the best socks, is my point.
What else does he say, though? He does say something else.
Well, yeah, he also comes up with a mouthful of clams.
Now, that one I would not go for.
And double patty midnight madness, which sounds like something that I would attend as long as you can drive through.
Yeah. If you could drive through at 1 a.m.
Yeah. I don't care how long I got to wait. I'll listen to a podcast or whatever. I'll sit behind 27 cars as long as when I come around and I go... Is tonight double patty midnight madness? And they say yes. I'll go. All right, I'd like to do it four times, please.
But that's when Squidward thinks of the idea of a talent show, his talent show, Squidward Tentacles talent show. And I always forgot. I don't know why I forgot that he tried how much he really tried to make it about himself.
I didn't.
Besides the play, like obviously. He makes that about himself. I forgot that he calls it his own show, too. It's not just like the Krusty Krab talent
show.
He's
putting it on.
Yeah.
The only thing Mr. Krabs has to do at all is the venue and just the fact that his daughter is going
to
be in it.
Yeah. He's got to bring the culture to Bikini Bottom. That's why this episode's called Culture Shock. They say the word culture in it way more than I remember, but it makes sense.
And it's just nice to see Squidward so excited.
Yeah, it really is. Think about it. You were just reading a dance magazine with nothing going on, and now you get to put on a talent show.
This opportunity falls at your feet right now.
So the next day, Squidward is he's on stage as the director. He's getting everything set up. It's the, you know, doesn't start till night.
He's got a scarf. He's already playing the part.
Yeah, he's already playing it very well.
By the way, SpongeBob said that he's very talented. So he's already calling his folks because that's how excited he is to be a part of this.
So Sponge wants to know when he's going on. He's already trying to get the lay of the land. And this is one that I have, for some reason, quoted a lot. But he says, the show.
The way he says, I have a great act.
Yeah. For some reason, I say the show in a high-pitched voice way more than I should. Dude,
just that whole line delivery is good.
He then does his act in front of Squidward. He blows a bubble hippo that puts on a top hat, and they both dance together with canes. That is one of the coolest acts I've seen, ever.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a bubble to dance with you, you should definitely be headlining the act. The other thing, too, that I just want people to really take in is it's easy to get kind of lost in it in the middle of the episode. Just pay attention to what the talent show is later, and keep in mind... They literally built a stage inside the Krusty Krab. In the background, you can see they have scaffolding of some sort because they hang all these special lights. They got ladders. This is a full-blown procedure. Just wait until we go through the lineup of the talent show.
Right, and what SpongeBob just did, I would argue, is one of the best talent show feats ever pulled off on TV. So Squidward says he's going to bring... does SpongeBob or Squidward say he's going to bring culture?
Well, just first of all, that's such a Squidward line. He's definitely the one that said he was going to bring culture. He yawns after seeing the bubble dance. Once again, we're going to go through the lineup of this talent show later, and Squidward has deemed this act not worthy.
So do you think he knows SpongeBob is super talented and he's going to win the crowd over if he does something like that and he doesn't want him? Because he wants the show about him.
No, see, I see what you're saying. I don't think that's the case. I think he just has such a blind spot for SpongeBob that he's just not taking him serious. I didn't get the vibe that he's like, oh God, I can't let SpongeBob go on. He's going to steal the show.
Okay.
As much as it's just like he doesn't want him to ruin his night.
So the night comes, we have a full house here. I would attend this place.
Episode moves like a freight train.
Yeah, it does. Included SpongeBob's parents, the two cookies. They're showing up to the Krusty Krab with Patrick at the same table.
Yeah, and also, don't bury the lead. The news is here. The news is here with, let me count real quick, 4 different spotlights that are the kind that like shine in the sky where you can see them all over town, where people, you know, like high schoolers or young adults who are just driving around on a Friday night go, oh, what is that? Let's just go. Let's go see what it is. And then you get all the way there and you realize it's a haunted house. And then you go, well, we don't have to go inside that, guys. We'll just, oh, cool. We see what it is.
But that's what Sponge pitches the idea to Squid. He's got another idea, you know, right before the show starts, Mr. Absorbency. And that's when he soaks up the water, does his sponge thing. I would argue another great act for the show.
Oh, another great act. And the fact that he took the time to give himself a name and like personalize the tub.
But Squid's being a dick. He's not letting these great ideas pass. He's not even, like you said, he just doesn't want SpongeBob to ruin the show. So anything that he throws out, he's not going to accept. Squid gives him the opportunity of a lifetime, though, and that is to mop up afterwards. And SpongeBob absolutely loves it.
This is another great one where, like, you get the chair pulled out from underneath you as a kid when he goes, so this is what it feels like. And you think he's going to say something along the lines of, like, to just be pushed aside. And he goes, the big time. Like, he's so honored to have this mop.
The show begins, and we have, like, the Jimmy Fallon intro, where it has, like, music playing, and it does the... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but don't disrespect Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon has mastered his craft. He does not need a note card like Squidward does to remember intro of his own show.
No, not that. The late night music with the words on screen. That's what I mean by that. Gotcha. Yeah, Squidward, no. Squidward.
Well, it's not. I don't think they've done that whole thing yet. Because that's for Squidward's.
Oh, that, yeah, you're right. You're
that
right.
That would be blowing their load too early if they did it right now. No, Squidward just walks out nervously sweating.
Oh, and he says, the talent show is sponsored by the Krusty Krab, home of the Krabby Patty, because no one else would give it a home. And
and Patrick laughed like I just did, because it's a good joke.
It's a good joke. The fact that Patrick's the only one that laughed here actually made me mad. I was like, that was actually funny.
That's a great joke. Now, Patrick's going to take it a little too far here in a second, but...
No, I could see why, like, maybe SpongeBob's parents don't laugh at that joke, because they're sitting next to Eugene. They don't want to offend Eugene. But even Eugene, you can tell... What is Eugene's face when that...
It's just pure astonishment that Patrick's laughing so hard. Okay. That's all it is. It's not...
Maybe that's what it was. They were surprised that Patrick laughed so hard that no one else was able to laugh.
I'm not even sure that the joke clocked with the rest of the table, because I'm not sure that it clocked with Patrick. I think Patrick's just in a giddy mood. He's wearing a top hat, for crying out loud. It's a talent show that's going to last 3.5 minutes. This is like the... So many people dressed to the nines to come eat a Krabby Patty and watch 4 minutes of talent show.
Oh, but yeah, Patrick, he's dying laughing. Squid, you could tell he was actually proud of himself that he got the laugh from Patrick.
Oh, yeah. It was the first time he actually liked Patrick, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Also, to your point from earlier, it is introduced as the first annual Squidward Tentacles talent show. Because we will be having a whole lot more of these.
God, I would love another episode of this. Me too. I really would. Where we have more time with more acts, you know?
Yeah, I feel like we left a lot on the table.
Squid keeps talking. What's the next line that Squid says right here?
Oh, okay. So then Squidward says, our next act is living proof that nepotism is alive and well. Meaning, because it's going to be Pearl. And she's only in it because her dad is the owner of the venue. Patrick absolutely dies and then goes with a nepotism and then just starts laughing again as if he knows what the word nepotism means.
Honestly, I'm not kidding. I would be laughing pretty hard too if I was in the crowd. Not obviously not like this, but...
Well, at this point, you'd be laughing at Patrick for laughing so hard. Because now he says, put your hands together, and he's
dying. He says, put your fins together.
Oh, yeah, put your fins together.
Put your fins together, and he just continues to just laugh so extremely hard. And Pearl finally gets on stage.
She does.
You know, this
what
is
a big woman.
Yeah, Mr. Krabs has referred to her as his little girl several times. She's not so little, okay? And she does a cheerleading act. This is the worst one, I think.
Well, yeah, it definitely causes the most damage. See, Squidward messed up. He should have, like, had a soft opening to the show where he sent out Pearl. Because, obviously, his idea here is, I'm going to send her out first. She's terrible. I just got to get her in there for Mr. Krabs. You got to almost, like, do it as people are still making their way to the table. So it kind of, you kind of skip by it.
Right.
But you still said, well, she was part of the show. She opened the show. And then you really get down to the biscuits and gravy.
But yeah, she's a big in. She does her whole cheer. I put she's one of those people who on her own Instagram page, if she had one, would only get hate. She would have a lot of followers.
Yeah,
and it
would
just be hate from everybody, and that's how she has so many traction.
Yeah, the comments would just be like, hate from Canada.
Yes.
Sending hate from Canada.
Right.
Well, surely, does she not, like, look at the landscape of what she caused and go, oh?
I don't know, but she caused a lot of stuff, and this is when we get the famous My Leg guy in the background. I mean, anytime the My Leg guy comes in saying that, it's automatically one of my favorite episodes.
I'm going to do you one better. I don't know if you noticed this, and it might be, I'm going off captioning here. I thought that I listened, and I think this is true captioning. I think he says, my legs. Pearl got both
really,
of them tangled up.
That's crazy because that would be one of the only times he had both.
Yeah, he goes, my legs.
Wow.
And not a great act, but I still got to give her credit. She pulled off a split. And to be a whale, pretty damn impressive.
So backstage, when Squidward goes backstage, Sponge is asking him how he should mop, you know, which direction and everything. Squid ignores it. And sends Gary out to do a little poetry.
Another thing that I would really love to see is Chad mopping, because I imagine it to be very sad because of how bad I imagine you being at it.
I know how to mop.
I'd like to see it.
You just go left to right, right?
I'd just like to see you mop.
You're saying I wouldn't mop against the grain or whatever?
I'm just saying, like, there's certain things, any kind of, like, household cleaning task, I just imagine, like, you're holding the mop a weird way. If I saw you sweep, I think you'd sweep a very, like, where you had to put it in a pan.
Okay.
I think you'd do it in a very derpy way. Vacuuming, you might be pretty good at.
When's the last time you mopped?
Probably when I worked at Racetrack.
I've never mopped before.
Exactly. And that's why I think it would be hilarious to watch you mop.
Never.
You'd be very bad.
Now that you say that, I legitimately have never mopped before. Mm-hmm.
Like the mop bucket, seeing you like deal with the mop bucket for the first time, it would just be great.
Yeah, I do not want to do that. That's why I never worked in a movie theater. I would hate to mop.
Yeah, that's why.
We see Gary, he's doing a little poetry, and to be honest, if I knew his language, I feel like it would be pretty good.
It's not good.
But Sandy, why is she sitting by herself here?
Because, man, I'm telling you, if I'm gleaming one thing from this rewatch thus far, it's that Sandy is just, and I hate saying it, she's a bit of a bitch.
So you think people are ignoring her?
I'm just saying it's a
like
bad...
people don't want to sit
I'm
there.
I think everyone in Bikini Bottom pretty much is down here for a special evening. She's sitting at a table all alone.
I think it's racism against land animals.
That could be it too, but at the same time, like, go back to the moon or the rocket ship episode. She was not that pleasant to be around.
Yeah.
She was a little bit gullible when SpongeBob went and did nature pants.
So you're saying that people later on in the series is when she starts becoming she realizes that
she's going to have a reality check. Because so far, the only person that I've seen that really enjoys her company other than SpongeBob is Larry. Larry's got kind of a crush on her. And I think his might just be because he's like, oh, muscle lobster.
And she's big too.
She can
lift.
She can lift a bit. And he's just like, oh, I can conquer her. Okay. He might be looking at her like a checkbox.
But does he know about her karate, though?
I don't know. And that might be unfair for me to do Larry, because Larry... Doesn't Larry just seem like the guy... He's too nice of a guy, and he's kind of like a man whore?
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I pick up with him.
I bet he's been... He's tossed around, for sure, by women.
He's just got a playbook that he sticks to, gets a lot of girls from it, but none of them are authentic, and he's just like... checking boxes.
Yeah. We just figured out Larry this, and then an episode that Larry's not even in, right? Is he in this episode?
No.
We then get back to the amazing, wait. Yeah, she's sitting by herself. We then get back to the amazing plankton act, though. I can't believe he was even allowed in the Krusty Krab, much less performing an act.
Well, that's true.
And it's just him trying to steal a Krabby Patty.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah. Tale as old as time. Krabs sends him out the door in shame because he tries to do an alakazam, mm-hmm. which just blow another random explosion where it just blows himself up.
Oh, what is all that?
Plankton blows himself up. He like claps and then it just blows himself up.
Okay, well, yeah. After he steals the crab. Because that's the thing, too. It's just a bad plan. This is essentially his plan tonight. He goes, okay, they're having a talent show. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to do a magic act. And then with the Krusty Krab more crowded than ever, including Eugene himself watching the stage, I will then just jump to the nearest tables, pick up a Krabby Patty, and just try and run out the front door. How would that not work?
Again, think about the three acts that we've had so far. Gary, who doesn't even speak the same language as the people.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl the whale, and now Plankton stealing a Krabby Patty. That is the talent that we've displayed so far.
That's the lineup that Squidward has crafted together, and SpongeBob just can't crack. He can't crack a spot in the lineup.
But that's when everybody starts booing, and they realize that this show is a disaster.
Even Mr. Krabs gets mad.
Yeah, he's getting mad now, but... The moment they've all been waiting for, this is when we get the Jimmy Fallon like opening words and stuff. We have the incomparable, I can't even say that word, Squidward tentacles.
500 balloons fall from the ceiling. Think about how long SpongeBob spent blowing up balloons and putting them up near the ceiling.
He's in a dance suit and his dance act begins. And, of course, we know how this is going to go. I feel like... This is just depressing.
He's into some weird shit.
He is.
That's what I don't understand. When he was reading Dance Now, he imagined himself as like a classical ballet dancer, like dancing with a woman. And then he goes on to some like techno gyrating squid arms. It's just kind of like gross. And everyone, the ringleader of the fish, I want to talk about him real quick. If you haven't seen the episode, I'll try and describe him as best I can. He's a man fish wearing a very distinct toupee.
Okay.
Do you know which one I'm talking about? He's kind of the leader of, like, he's insulted at this act. He's just like, it's gross. He says, what the, like, that fish was getting ready to say, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then they cut away.
Yeah. What the? Yeah, and that's when they go to the free salad bar, they get the tomatoes, start chucking them at Squidward, and Mr. Krabs, he cannot let this opportunity go to waste, so he puts a $1 sign next to the tomatoes.
Well, this is where I want to talk about the salad bar. We've come back around to that. Why I think it's a very bad salad bar is because they're picking up full uncut tomatoes.
Yeah, uncut.
Which makes me think that Mr. Krabs just took a look around at his inventory and he was like, what can we do as a promotion with stuff that we already have? I'll just put the makings for it. We've got lettuce, we've got tomatoes, we got onions. I'm just going to put them uncut in a refrigerated unit. It's probably not even refrigerated. In a unit, and I'll just put free salad bar.
Free salad bar. But yeah, he takes advantage of this, and they start, the guy says it's worth every penny. and they buy the tomatoes, just start chucking them at Squidward. Let's be honest, Squidward deserved this.
Yeah.
No, and they started, he says, don't you guys know talent? And then they just start all chanting, no talent.
He says, you don't even know talent.
No talent, no talent. So he storms backstage, he's pissed, SpongeBob goes on, and this is just, we have one of the greatest performances of all time.
Yeah, SpongeBob goes on, creates magic.
Yeah. Hey, look at that. What's that guy doing?
It happens right away. Let me read some of the captioning. He walks out, everyone's kind of quiet. The second that he starts moving the mop, the booing stops, and they go, hey, yeah. One person goes, that's really not too bad.
That's really not too bad.
Another person goes, I like that. The first person, just because I recognize the voice, goes, all right.
And keep going with that scene.
Well, first of all, I'm also mad at your shitty-ass notes because I just realized you never even had the line, this guy stinks, in your notes.
When was it?
I mean, I'm... Honestly, now that I just realized that, I'm so mad at you, but we'll keep going. Squidward's backstage wiping his face off with a towel, hears all this going on, and thinks that something has just changed drastically out there, and they actually won an encore.
Why would he think that?
So he pushes SpongeBob aside, jumps out. They, of course, immediately just go quiet. And then we just get this back and forth, which is just another great comedic...
yeah, because it's also, it's just the noise SpongeBob makes when he walks, the wink, wink, the little squeaky, because he just seems so dorky, but they just love it. They eat this shit up.
It makes me think, I don't know how you could do this in high school. I wish I would have had, as like almost like a senior prank or something, somehow getting the entire student body to do something along these lines. Like,
yeah.
Like, say, like, get two people to run for class president, okay? And one of them, it's just got to be someone who's already very popular because you don't want to hurt their anyone's feelings. And you just go, okay, you're going to be the Squidward. And when you walk out there, we are just going to boo
the shit out of you.
And then, even though that guy even has maybe some good points and stuff. And then just bring out another guy who just has some little, I don't know.
So, and then you would have to like spill something and then him come out and like clean it up.
It's like you go out with a bucket of popcorn and be like, yeah, I'll institute free popcorn Fridays. And then people boo you, you drop the popcorn, and then the next guy just comes out with a broom, starts sweeping it up. The whole school goes crazy.
They start going, hey, what is this guy doing?
It starts off slow.
Yeah.
And then they really get into it.
We should have done that, man.
If any high school wants to get that,
video it and say, you got to say something about the podcast Chronicles with Ronnie and Chad, though.
Got to.
But yeah.
We're coming for you with our large army.
Krabs is so happy from the tomato money. It was a huge success. He's riding on a wheelbarrow. Everyone loved it. The talent show. I love how the talent show was a failure until SpongeBob started cleaning up. And it was...
Yeah, I mean, he really took it home when he swept up.
When he brings out the little dustpan.
Squidward steals the mop, and then, yeah, he pulls out the little dustpan because, of course, he's going to be prepared.
The way he runs out with a little dustpan is just so funny. End of episode. Which episode do you like more?
It's a good question. I know. I was shocked, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I significantly like Culture Shock more than Fun.
Wow, significantly.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say significantly, and the only reason I say that is because it moves really good, but the talent show is so bad.
Oh, it's so bad.
That it almost, you know, it's really the ending part and then the Patrick laughing. Those are the two highlights. Fun, I like how much SpongeBob buys into Plankton and the Mr. Krabs stuff a little later on, and also the song, banger. Okay. But I'm still going to go Culture Shock, But I will just say, after I watched both of them the other night, I went, wow, a little bit closer than I would have once thought.
Okay. I respect that. FUN fun. Let's get into it. This is actually like super interesting. I did not watch this episode nearly as much as a kid as I did the first one.
Really?
Which doesn't make sense because they're together, but
together.
I did not watch this one. I would say this is out of season one, I probably watched this the fewest so far.
Really?
And maybe that's why I didn't like it as much, is because for some reason as a kid, I don't know if I didn't like it as a kid or if I just decided not to watch it as much.
No, I saw this one a good bit for sure.
But yeah, we have lunchtime at the Krusty Krab and
packed.
It's absolutely packed, yeah.
Jam packed. So these two episodes in comparison, very different.
Well,
vibes,
that's because people heard about the talent show.
I guess so.
And so now they're showing up and they're like, oh, maybe another talent show will happen. And everyone's going crazy. We've got sirens. We've got red lights on. Of course, it's Plankton. And we've got our favorite retarded Aussie accent narrating this whole scene.
Few things here. The defense, the security system that Mr. Krabs has implemented, very impressive. Steel walls, my favorite part. There's a something that activates on the cooking pot that SpongeBob's using that closes up the pot, as if Plankton's going to try and get into that boiling liquid. And then I just like the idea of Squidward at the top of whatever, like the lookout tower. Like, he's over there, sir! Like, Squidward is bought in for whatever reason to not letting Plankton get away with the secret recipe.
Squidward doesn't buy into anything. For some reason, he's bought into this.
Doesn't seem like he should care at all.
Plankton actually got away, though. That's how good he was here.
Yeah, because he's got a laser that cuts through the wall, and also what I believe to be his best decision, he's made like a little robot backpack with arms to carry the patty for him.
Right, because we see later on that he just puts it in his pocket, but he thinks even harder right here. But SpongeBob, what does he do? He rips off his own bodysuit to then show off his body. And
show off the same exact outfit he was just wearing.
Yeah, he's now on the pursuit, though. Can you go through this police? For some reason in this notes, it just says police scene Ronnie.
All right. Really good work by you, Chad. I don't know why. Fire tonight. Really good notes. Yeah, I'll go through this police scene for you. He's on the lookout. It's definitely like lunchtime in Bikini Bottom. A lot of working pantsuits walking around. SpongeBob finds the Krabby Patty and then gets a helicopter blade and flies up. But there's a policeman twirling a baton. So SpongeBob strikes an idea. He grabs a hold of that baton, chases after it, okay? Now, you think that the cop would be mad that the baton has been stolen.
Yeah.
But the second that SpongeBob takes flight, there's cartoon hearts that pop out
He's in love with SpongeBob.
That he can't believe this brave hero is going to repossess this fast food hamburger.
This fast food. This is not a fast food hamburger, Ronnie. This is the Krabby Patty. God, that is... You never think it... Like, as a kid, I used to think, wow, that is like a special treasure, the Krabby Patty. But when you say fast food hamburger, it really does sound stupid.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, what is it? Like, they don't have a drive-thru yet. That's going to be a future episode. But it's also... Like, I don't think they're doing... Like Five Guys numbers.
No.
And I don't think it's as good as a Five Guys burger. I don't even know what you would compare it to.
It's got to just be a local shop that is fast food, but it's a mom and pop's fast food.
Yeah, where they just do kind of like quick diner food. I'm assuming you need me to keep going.
No, I've got it.
You got the cowboy walking down the side of Bikini Bottom?
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, so at some point... SpongeBob gets on top of a building, needs to get back down. He inflates his hat, where he then rides it like a bull down. He bounces off the pavement, where for whatever reason, there is a cowboy fish and his little darling walking down the sidewalk. And when they see him riding his hat, they break out into a full down or full on hoedown and shout "Yeehaw!" Here, I'll give it to you.
You give it to me. Give it to me. God, that would be, if I was the voice actor for that, that'd be so much fun. To just be, what are you voice acting for? I'm just the side character on SpongeBob that just says "Yeehaw."
Yeah, you think they pulled someone special in for that recording?
Who do you think it was? Because I know, obviously, there's a guy that does a lot of the voices, but that one's, it's got to be the guy that says, "You guys stink. Oh, brother, you got."
I don't know for sure, but Amazon does that cool thing where it shows on the screen. They have someone credited as guy number two. I'm thinking that might be the Yeehaw guy. And it's Mr. Lawrence, the guy who voices Plankton.
And it's 100% Plankton. Yeah, you hear it, I hear it now. As soon as you say that, God, that's awesome. All right, so it's Plankton's.
Tough day in the studio for that guy.
Yeah. Sponge almost gets tricked by Plankton, though, when we get to a magic shop. Because he's got the classic disguise on.
Right, the glasses, the big nose, the mustache.
But SpongeBob starts torturing him by just continuously talking like he does to so many characters in this show that Plankton cannot handle it. Okay, he just gives the Krabby Patty back.
Plankton's an idiot. Like, all SpongeBob said was like this whole inspirational speech about how all your dreams will come true.
Yeah.
And Plankton's like, I can't take it. Here you go.
Plankton starts crying, though, for being such a loser. And that's when Sponge, he starts to try to cheer him up. And he goes, then he says, Plankton, you are a winner. And as soon as he says winner, we've got our whole crew somehow showing up here. We've got a policeman. We've got Mr. Krabs, Squidward. Who else do we have there?
I genuinely believe this to maybe be the weirdest scene so far in SpongeBob. Yeah, because you hit the big points. It's Mr. Krabs, Squidward, the cop, and then just some random people that point at Plankton saying loser. They're this tied up in the the sanctity of the crusty or the Krabby Patty recipe. And as if things didn't get weird enough, Squidward is the one that says, how does it feel to be the most hated thing in Bikini Bottom? They then make SpongeBob the rookie of the day by putting a donut on him, where they then launch into a song going, for he's a jolly good rookie, for he's a jolly good rookie. They throw him up in the air. Even Squidward was singing, guys. Yeah. I don't know what was going on.
I don't either. SpongeBob's even thinking in this moment, wow, this seems a little excessive. I kind of feel bad for Plankton.
Yeah, it's actually really sweet. He goes, I bet if he had one friend, he wouldn't be such a meanie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened in the time that they threw SpongeBob up in the air to the time he fell down, but they completely became disinterested.
And
they just, they fall off. And just
is it
walk
because
away.
Because Plankton walks away, he's not seeing it, so they're like, oh, whatever.
I guess. They literally say whatever.
It is nice, though, that SpongeBob is so nice that he realizes that if he could become his friend, he could completely change him.
Mm-hmm.
That's like whenever I see a broken woman, I'm like, I can fix her.
I know, and it's like, since you think things like that, it's what I think when I befriend you.
What?
Where I'm just like, God, if he's already saying things like broken women, if he didn't have me as a friend, what would he be doing out here? Kind of doing like a really...
Are you saying like you fixed me?
Yeah, I'm saying like without me,
I would
life's
be calling...
going very differently.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I've been thinking about that lately. Like I'm like...
Like I'm holding you back?
Yeah, like what if I was just married to like Ariana Grande right now? Like in a different world, would I be married to Ariana Grande if I wasn't friends with you?
Friends with, interesting, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do see what you mean, interesting.
I mean, who knows? We'll never find out, but that's one of those, like if I dream it, I'll know that's not a dream, that's an alternate reality.
Yeah, because if you weren't friends with me, you wouldn't be doing this podcast right now, and maybe you'd be like, I don't know, like the... Where does Ariana Grande, like the Teen Nick Award, the Nick Awards?
Yep.
What is that called?
Nickelodeon.
the Kids' Choice Awards.
Kids' Choice Awards.
Figured it out.
Would I be there? And if she sees me there, who knows? She's coming up to me.
I think she's... Well, I shouldn't say that.
He goes to the chum bucket the next day to try and play with Plankton. And he opens the door, starts to talk. Plankton just slams it in his face. And we have Karen, the AI computer overlord. She's talking to Plankton, and she's like, you need to befriend SpongeBob. This is your chance. And when the time's right, you steal the Krabby Patty. Like, what do you think? For this guy to be such an evil genius, he does not think right here. He's having to have his
computer AI wife. Makes it seem like he's not the evil genius.
You think it's all Karen?
I think it's like a big lesson that we need to pay attention to. He invented this AI computer, and it's trying to take over the world by, like, you know, manipulating Plankton. Like, he's given up, and she's like, oh, here's an idea.
Dude, that's our future, right?
Yeah.
And of course it's... Dude.
It's like AI telling you to go rob banks and stuff.
Of course it's a bitch named Karen, too.
Yeah, so ahead Think of about its time.
It is ahead of its time because nobody got the Karen term from this.
Nope.
SpongeBob's so genius,
man. It really is.
So they go to Jellyfish. Oh, he opens the door back up. SpongeBob is still continuing the conversation from earlier. Just so stupid, but he ends up taking up the offer and they go to Jellyfish Fields. SpongeBob gives him the little net and has his own net. And it's just so nice that he probably made that net for him. Think about how nice
that is. True. They don't make a net like that.
Yeah. And he starts doing the la 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 as he goes around catching jellyfish. And Plankton, he's only thinking about evil things. He's thinking about the stingers on him because SpongeBob says watch out for him. And he's just thinking about bringing them around the entire globe, I guess Bikini Bottom, and stinging everyone, you know, taking control of them.
You know, just casually taking over the world with jellyfish as the...
See, that's what she's corrupted him. Karen has corrupted him. Every man needs a strong, independent, lovely woman. Karen is not that.
I guess she's a robot, a computer.
Ronnie.
What?
Come on.
She is.
That does that change anything? She's got her own personality, dude.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In the future, we're
going to... You're doing like the AI debate.
Yeah. I mean, right now, it's not a big debate.
I mean, the way things are going, I'm putting myself at like 10 years from now, 70% chance against 30% chance that I'm in a relationship with an AI robot rather than like an actual girl.
I have been thinking about it recently.
Would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, but not just computer form. Like, you need an actual physical thing?
I don't even need physical.
So you think, like, if you could just go home at night and, like, chat with, like, the computer remembers things about you, like, if you tell it about your day,
mm-hmm.
it'll be like, oh, you know, did Ronnie say anything funny tonight? Yeah. Now, do you need a voice attached to it, or can you just read it?
I need a voice, and if they're like, oh, did the trans person at Starbucks put another heart sticker on your cup when you got it? I'd be like, oh, they remembered.
Will ChatGPT actually do that? Can you like tell Chat? Like, I see that doing amazing things. I'm just curious if you say,
I'm more of a
be my girlfriend.
I'm more of a Grok on Twitter.
Okay.
Grok is pretty good.
Okay.
I've never used any of them. I'm just making shit up.
First of all, my AI girlfriend's not going to be named Grok. I'll tell you that right now.
But Plankton, he's the stereotypical short man syndrome guy. Because I don't know if you've ever seen the famous bagel video of the guy in the bagel shop. Please tell me you've seen that.
Maybe.
It's the famous bagel guy in the bagel shop. He's like 5'2".
Okay.
And he gets severely irritated by somebody. Or no, he's just irritated because they don't have his bagel ready. And somebody's just like, hey man, you might want to calm down. He's like, oh, are you saying that because I'm short? Have you seen that?
I might not have seen that one.
And he tries to like fight somebody, and the guy's like, no, I'm just telling you to calm down. And he's blaming everything on him being short, which has nothing to do with the
situation.
I feel
like I've seen it, but it's not clicking on all cylinders.
I'll show it to you after this.
We'll watch it after this.
People definitely know what I'm talking about. It's one of the funniest short man videos ever.
And if you don't, just type in short bagel guy.
Short, I think it's bagel boss is what they called him for a while. And that's when the fun song starts playing here.
Okay. Popquit, don't look at your notes. How close? There's three verses. SpongeBob verse, a Plankton verse, and then a second SpongeBob verse. How many do you think you can nail? How many letters do you think you can nail?
I'll go for it now. See, I don't, it's, this episode's weird to me. I probably won't do that good, but...
I still, come on, man. You got to be able to get the first two.
F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere, anytime at all down here in the deep blue sea.
Plankton.
F is for fire.
It burns down the whole town.
U is for
uranium.
Bombs. N is for no survivors.
When, and then SpongeBob cuts him off. And then we get the other great one. Where it's F is for frolic through all the flowers. U is for ukulele. Yeah. N is for nose picking, chewing something gum.
Yep.
And licking sand with my licking best sand buddy.
With my best buddy, which sounds terrible. Who yeah, wants to lick sand?
I don't know why we do lick sand. That's terrible for sure. There's. Have you ever had sand in your mouth?
Yes.
It's awful.
It's one of the worst things. Picture yourself on the beach, putting your face to the sand and just taking a good old lick.
Ugh. There's also kind of a fourth verse where he goes,
there was always those kids who, in school, kind of weird kids that were very pinchy. They like to pinch people. That's a good way to put it. They loved singing Plankton's verse.
Yeah, there were the kids who really loved to sing Plankton's
The people
verse.
That made the Hornets, the paper Hornets, where you shoot.
Yes.
Those kids loved Plankton's verse.
You just nailed that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So Krabs, he's looking at all of this in his watchout tower through a telescope, and he cannot believe what he's all the frolicking he's seeing.
Yeah. Way too much frolicking going on in his watch.
So AI Karen, she's pissed the next day, or I guess this is that night, for him not stealing the patty. And that's when Plankton, he's kind of having second thoughts here because they did have fun out in Jellyfish Fields. That's when SpongeBob goes back to Mr. Krabs, though.
Sorry, I was choking and dying for a second. Oh. No, this is when Karen is truly evil. The first time she brings it up, I go, okay. You guys have kind of been after this one thing the whole time, so sure, try and get the Krabby Patty. This time when he comes back, like, genuinely happy, and, like, he's got a friend, it's worked, she's such a bitch for, like, pulling him back.
Because she doesn't want him to have friends.
Doesn't want him to have friends.
Now, if she's such a smart AI computer system, though, shouldn't she be able to just come up with a Krabby Patty formula herself? That's why I think she's not that smart. Or at least some type of formula, because this restaurant sucks. She should be able to come up with something.
I mean, that's another thing. What kind of situation did Plankton fall into to where he can even keep this place open? Because it seems like he's bringing in a net of $0 per month.
I know.
With expensive equipment, lab equipment.
That's when we go. SpongeBob's working at the Krusty Krab the next day, and he says, who knows about Plankton's whereabouts recently to Mr. Krabs? And Krabs says, you knows about it, and shows him the photographic footage of them playing.
I mean, what investigative work. Just seeing these guys frolicking through flowers and licking sand.
Oh, that's when Plankton shows up inside of the Krusty Krab. And Mr. Krabs, he's not buying it. He sets a nice, juicy, steamy, hot Krabby Patty on the table.
There's some good lines here. This is part of like what made me like this episode even more than I initially thought, is SpongeBob's just genuine disgust with Mr. Krabs and how up in their business he is. He says, let's get out of here, Plankton. I forgot this is a no-friend zone.
But yeah, Krabs sets the thing down, goes back to the kitchen, and says, you know, to SpongeBob, oh, he's going to fall for this, and he even does, like, the wind. He puts a fan.
Puts a fan to really waft the scent over into him.
But yeah, that's when SpongeBob tells him, let's get out of here, and as soon as they leave, Mr. Krabs realizes that
Why can't you just accept our friendship?
Plankton had put a cardboard cutout of a Krabby Patty on the table. I don't know how he didn't see that, because it doesn't go both ways. The sign was facing us, not facing that way.
I mean, I don't know how we didn't see it, because it never cut from plankton. Well, what absolute amazing sleight of hand.
Yeah.
And also the idea, like, they walk away. They're literally, they have to be 10 steps away from the door. And then the cardboard thing falls, and so Mr. Krabs gets in the cashier boat and starts paddling away. That's the quickest way he can catch up to him.
That's why he didn't catch up, I think, because he did that.
Because he was going through a parking lot in a boat with oars.
So they go to the movie theaters. We've got Bubble Bass sitting next to SpongeBob. He sits directly on Plankton. Absolutely hilarious.
Sits directly on Plankton, and he's also the guy. This is a very wide open theater. A lot of seating options. He sits right next to SpongeBob.
If somebody did this to me, I would be livid.
I'd be so mad. But also, you wouldn't... You would be smart enough to not be sitting in the front row, though. And they're sitting
I don't know why he's doing that. Krabs shows up to the theater, though. He's blocking the film. There's a big shadow.
I gotta say one more thing. Very underrated part. SpongeBob, after he throws popcorn for Bubble Bass to go get... And after he releases Plankton from out underneath Bubble Bass's ass, SpongeBob hovers his arm around where Plankton would be if they were a normal person, even though he's so far down in the seat. Which bros have never done ever before. No.
I mean, we wouldn't do that, I don't think.
In an unironic way.
Yeah. Krabs shows to the theater. He's blocking the screen. He's telling them not to trust him to reach. Hold on, bad note. Krabs shows up and says at the theater, blocking the screen, to not trust him to reach into his pocket and take what he's got. Mm-hmm. And so we've got all the women in there with their boyfriends. They reach into the pockets of all the men, take their stuff, and run off. And what exact items do we have here?
Yeah. So one guy just has cash. Makes sense. Another person has the largest timepiece I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then my personal favorite, the guy near the back, he's just got his straight up piggy bank in his pocket. And so that woman pulls out an entire piggy bank and runs off.
Steven Hillenburg, I feel like some woman stole a lot of money from him. That was his like shade thrown right here.
Yeah, that was him basically saying like, women will be women.
Yeah.
Who hurt you, Steven?
SpongeBob reaches into the pocket of Plankton and pulls out an entire Krabby Patty.
Oh.
So upsetting.
Top 10 anime betrayal.
Plankton starts to cry. SpongeBob's mad, saying he tricked him. And we've got a classic case of a spy feeling guilty, or at least it seems like. Plankton was playing the whole spy game. But no, he was not actually feeling guilty. He likes being evil too much. Starts to run off through the theater screen and just slams into concrete.
Just this whole betrayal.
Yeah.
Like Plankton's like, I don't see anything. And then SpongeBob being like, we sang the fun song. I think I'm going to be sick.
I think I'm going to be sick. But he's not going anywhere. He smashed himself into the concrete. Right past the movie theater screen. Is that true? Is there concrete back there?
I think in the very old times, like 1999, maybe.
Okay.
I don't think there's concrete back there anymore.
Okay.
I don't know, though. Well, maybe. I mean, because if you think about it, they're still just projector screens.
Yeah.
I think, right?
So it probably is, yeah.
I mean, the theater can only be so big. There's got to be a wall somewhere.
Plankton can't change... Mr. Krabs telling him that Plankton can't change, and he says, we've got a Krabby Patty waiting for us when we get back. Well, a discounted Krabby Patty.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
And Bubble Bass, Plankton gets flicked onto Bubble Bass, who's eating jelly beans, and he has to run away from Bubble Bass. End of episode.
Yeah, like the idea that the movie screen gets split open and Bubble Bass is still just in his seat.
Just watching.
Snacking on some jelly beans.
What a fatty McFatty.
End of episode. Good week. Are you ready for next week?
Oh my gosh, yes. I haven't even thought about it.
Here we go. Muscle Bob Buff Pants.
Oh, yeah.
I think we all know what that one probably is. And then another one that I kind of remember, but it's got to be a good one, just because I know the setup of it. Squidward the Unfriendly Ghost.
I can remember.
And when I read that, I just go, okay, that's a SpongeBob and Patrick just getting on Squidward's everlasting nerve, so it's got to be a good one.
Yeah, and they're in his home, humble abode, a few times in that.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember. Okay. That's going to be, that's good, because I don't remember that one that well, but I think I know which one it is.
Yeah, it's going to be another good week. You got anything else?
I think that's about it.
Cool. If you enjoyed our SpongeBob coverage and you're on the free feed, go check out our Patreon. You can get 3 extra episodes right now, as well as our Learn a Little Something with Ronnie and Chad show, where we just we talk about anything and everything. We have fun, and we'll talk with you next week.
Happy birthday, Ronnie.
Thanks, man. I've been Ronnie.
I've been Chatty.
Peace.
Peace.